Hey, 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 everyone. It is your girl, the hostess with the mostest, Layla, and you are tuning in to Queen Rebels. It is our first episode. Hey, everybody. I just want to say fucking hello to the world because we're doing this. And I'm here with some of my greatest friends who are also my sisters and my daughter. You know, we have to call ourselves family because that's a thing, right? But I just want to introduce everybody. So you guys already know me, hostess with Moses, Layla. I'm originally from Hawaii, but I am currently in Colorado, this great Rocky Mountain state. And I am a veteran, a spouse, an advocate, a lady. But I'm also, you know, just a healthcare information management supervisor. So, but I'm going to give it up for my ladies who are joining me on this podcast. This is the crew, and you're going to be listening to them every week. So I'm just going to let them just take it away. Who wants to go first, ladies?
I'll go first. Hi, Layla. My name is Adriana. I'm so excited to be here as well. I am originally from Lawton, Oklahoma. There's nothing in Oklahoma, but you know, I'm like the rising star that came out of it. So you're welcome, Oklahoma. What I do for work, I am a software engineer and I currently work for a pretty decent company right now. I'm unable to say where, but you get the drift. HR, I know you're watching. And that's me.
Hi, everyone. My name is Akira. I'm so glad to be here with my sisters, Lay, Gigi, and Kylie. And so a little bit about me. I'm born and raised in the Philippines, particularly Cebu. I'm a part of the 7,107 islands of the Philippines, which is pretty great for vacation, pretty cheap if you want to, you know, spend some dough. So I work as a medic in the Navy, and I'm stationed right now in California enjoying the sun, the beautiful weather that we have here, the 67 degrees that a lot of people right now unfortunately can't enjoy. But hello, guys, and thank you.
Hey, guys. How's it going? My name is Kylie. I was born and raised in Burma, and I moved to the U.S. when I was 18. I'm currently serving in the U.S. Navy as an electrical engineer, and I've been serving for 8 years now. And I'm currently stationed out of San Diego, and I'm very happy to be joining this panel with these lovely ladies.
Good. Thanks so much, ladies. Look, everybody, so if you're tuning in and listening, we are four beautiful trans women, right? I just want to put that out there because I want you, as a listener, I just want you to know who we are. And so one of the greatest things about this crew is that we're all have served or are currently serving in the military. We're trans women, we're trans women of color, and it's a thing. And we just wanna put it out there that this is who you're listening to. So it's basically, we're gonna be talking from our perspectives on a lot of different issues. So I'm just gonna jump right in, right? Why did we even create Queen Rebels? Why? Like, that's, you're probably asking, like, okay, these four women who are trans women, want to fit in these spaces. Why did we even create Queen Rebels? Ladies.
Layla, that's a great question. So we created this platform for everyone from all walks of life so that they can come and learn about our community, mostly specifically about trans people, but ultimately to create space for trans people in the world that still partially believes that we trans people should not exist in public space.
Yes. So we really needed a platform specifically for trans women of color and every intersectional with that, because there aren't enough role models for everyday trans women like ourselves. There are only trans celebrities to compare ourselves to, but even then we have maybe a handful that we can think of on top of our head. Even though we shouldn't compare ourselves to anyone at all, it is inevitable, though, that to compare ourselves to others, to other people, whether we are cis or trans, and that's unfortunately the reality of it, and that's why we created Queen Rebels.
I totally agree with you, Akira. One of the other things that we wanted to do was to expose, nurture, and execute the idea that trans people can also be professional people in many different places, like being software engineers, military intelligence, doctors, nurses, electrical engineers, entrepreneurs, and professors, and everything else, right? And using that momentum to inspire the younger generations to understand and grasp at the opportunities that we can exist in all aspects of life, and that we don't just fit in one box, which is a very which is a common misconception among the cisgender community.
Ladies, these are really good reasons, right? And I obviously, we are all in agreement that this is a platform where we want to show what real life looks like for trans people. You know, the struggles, the victories, all of it. More so even for specifically for trans women of color in dating and love and transitioning all at the same time. Because some of us, girl, some of us be going through it. But, you know, as Queen Rebels, this platform has been created because we want to aim to empower, uplift, and amplify the voices of trans and non-binary people by educating the greater society about who our community is. So there you have it, listeners, Queen Rebels. We are the freshest news on culture, entertainment, lifestyle, relationship advice, and every fucking thing in between. But it's going to be from our perspectives, obviously, because, you know, it's our podcast. So it's a thing. But I want to move into just us talking. So now we've got all the hoopla and all the intros and all that stuff out of the way, because, you know, that is important for our listeners to know what they're listening to and why they're going to listen to it. Let's just talk. Let's really talk about just everything now.
So ladies, let's talk about what's been happening in the world, right? Do you guys know who JoJo Siwa is?
I do.
I do.
What about you?
I don't. Who is, I might be living under a rock, but I don't know who JoJo is.
Okay, so for those of you who are listening, if you don't know JoJo Siwa, she came out as a queer person on social media about 2 or 3 weeks ago. She basically posted a picture of herself wearing a t-shirt which says best gay cousin ever, which was given to her as a gift by her cousin. She is a 17-year-old dancer, singer, and a big YouTube personality. And she has about 12 million subscribers on YouTube. And she is most well known for her appearances on Dance Moms, a TV show. And it follows a group of young dancers who are trained under Abby Lee Dance Company. Since she came out, she has received both negative and positive responses from her fans. What are your thoughts on this?
Girl, I didn't know she was on Dance Moms? I had no idea she was on Dance Moms, but I think the only, when I first heard about JoJo Siwa, I had to look her up. And the first thing that I saw was when I looked at the pictures, it was this teeny little Caucasian girl. She was a teeny little white girl with this big ass bow on her head. And I'm just like, who the hell is JoJo Siwa? And then I started watching the videos. I'm like, oh, this is what my nieces listen to. And so I feel like she's the equivalent modern day Britney Spears. Maybe that might be stretch. That might be a stretch, right? But I feel like that's who she is to the younger generation now. But good for her for coming out and sharing her story. I can't imagine, well, let's take it back, because this generation and in this time, it's a lot different for people to come out than it was when we came out and we started transitioning. So I can't imagine the weight that has been lifted from her shoulders to be in the position that she is as a young lady at 17, having over 12, would you say 12 million followers? Like having that many, can I have 12 million followers so they can listen to everything that I talk about? But for her to have all of these responsibilities and then to share that at that age, like that's crazy to me. But that's also courageous, right? Like, her courage is her crown. Wear that shit.
And I think, this is Adriana, and I think that's just a really great, great, great thing that she's doing, because her business is $1 billion business. I think that's what she was talking about when she was doing an interview with I believe it was James Charles on YouTube. And as James Charles was doing like her makeup, like she was like telling the audience that like she's like a smart businesswoman. And although she's like all this glitz and glamour, she is a smart businesswoman. And another perspective I think is really great is that, you know, we have the younger generation that are so fortunate to be growing up with this and seeing that, you know, as they grow, like they are not going to be labeled as like, oh, she's trans or she's gay or anything like that. They're going to see it as like it's normal. And that's what we want to see.
Absolutely. Normalizing the language and the resources and the life, right? We want to normalize that because shit, we're all normal people. Unless they want to call us abnormal, then look, sis, you might want to check yourself in the mirror. But let's just really talk about Akira not knowing who the hell JoJo Siwa is. She really be living under a whole ass rock.
First, I deal with stocks, so a little bit of some research on that, but I'm not really into the whole, not into, I wouldn't say I wouldn't be into, I'm just not hip. I mean, some of us are getting a little bit up in age.
She's not hip. She has no hips. Sorry.
No, so there's, in the recent years, there's been a lot of coming out stories. And knowing us and the coming out stories that we've been through, we've been coming out, what, twice already? Two big come outs from the closets that we've been to, from a gay man to a trans woman. I feel like we definitely understand what they're going through. And we know the fact that there is a lot of emotion. There's a lot of, even still now, regardless of how the media has taken coming out to the public, coming out to media and having such a big broadcast with a lot of younger generations, the millennials, Gen Z. And I for me, I might sound conservative at this point, but maybe that I've just kind of had a lot of coming out stories that right now I'm like ready to just kind of live my life and just like, oh, okay, so that happened. You know, it's not the thrilling situation that I used to share. I'm still very empathetic, obviously, but today is not really isn't something that comes to my news feed a lot. And it's something different to have a whole new different news feed about medicine, about my job or things like that. So I'm not knocking at all at JoJo's. Is it JoJo?
It's JoJo Siwa, you bitch.
I'm gonna need to get it together. We all talked about JoJo.
But you know, like, especially from Layla and Gigi and from Kylie, that's why we have such, that's why I'm actually appreciative of Kylie, is that she gives us the freshest news up to date and give us a different perspectives of the life other than the life that we live, you know. And congratulations again to JoJo Siwa, and you know, live free, live hard, be courageous. Like Lay said, your courage is your crown, and that's definitely what you're doing. And I hope that you are a good role model for our younger generations and even for the older ones that really need to be educated. And that's really what I think about the whole situation. But thank you for telling me who JoJo Siwa is.
I bet you she gonna be looking at JoJo Siwa a whole different light now. Thanks, Kylie, for sharing that candid convo for today, which really actually segues into our conversation, right? Because we talked about JoJo Siwa being an entrepreneur, being a young lady in the business realm, and doing all these things, and then coming out as queer. Like, that's amazing. So it really does segue into our meat and potato topic of our session, right? And that is living at intersectionalities all encompassing. And so I'm going to toss it over to my girl, Akira, because she's going to be leading us in today's word. But she's going to be leading us in today's session. And so just keep your minds open, right? We want you guys to learn stuff from us. As our listeners, we want you guys to learn what we're talking about and how that affects us and how you guys can apply it to your daily lives. So, Miss Akira, take it away, girl.
Thank you, Lay. So I just want to start off with the topic, living in different aspects of life, all encompassing being a trans woman, being a woman, and being brown and being an immigrant. So I want to branch it off to my sisters and talk about the topic and actually broaden our own perspectives and how we all grew up and what we had to deal with growing up, from being an immigrant to living our full loving self as a trans woman here in the United States.
Yeah, Akira, I feel like that's a great topic to talk about because I don't think our audience knows what it's like to be trans and brown in America and how that was like during the past 4 years, especially the past 4 years. Well, a little bit about my background. I was born in the Philippines. I came to America when I was 2 years old, and we ended up in Lawton, Oklahoma. And growing up in Lawton, Oklahoma, there is no brown people. Like, we are like the 1% of the 1% of the population. And so looking around in my population, in my community, me and my family felt left out because it was like, oh, wait, to make it in America means to be white. And that's what was ingrained in my head. And so I hated the color of my skin. I wanted to bleach my skin. And I wanted to be like the other people because that's what naturally society pressures you to do, is to be able to, you know, fit with the mold. And I think what really struck me was when I joined the military. I joined the military and I went off to boot camp and I saw different people, different walks of life, different colors of people. And I haven't seen that in my life. And which was crazy looking back at now, because it feels like I was whitewashed. I feel like a lot of the Filipinos that I've encountered even say that, like, oh, why do you sound like you're white? Or why do you sound like you don't have an accent? And it's like, or even when I speak Tagalog, that's like very like whitewashed, as they would say. And so I think it's really important to know that trans people exist in all aspects of life. From, you know, from being in the medical field to being a software engineer. And I think Lay said it best, being in like electrical engineering. Like, these are real contributions to society. And we need to let our audience know that, like, we have more to offer than our bodies.
Yeah, you know, you make a really good point, G, talking about being real valued contributions to society, right? The common misconception that we talked about is that society, when they think of trans women, they think sex workers, or they think a man in a dress. And that's far from it, right? We have to acknowledge that there's a huge difference of the work, right? Trans woman, because we're not just that, we don't just fit in that box. And there's nothing wrong with sex workers. There's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with being a sex worker. The problem is that people and society have been ingrained to think that being a woman looks and is a certain way. And that is not true. That is absolutely not true. Some present more masculine than other women. Some women are very effeminate. Some women don't like pink. Some women rather work on cars or be in combat roles rather than being in this 50s mindset of, I need to be in the kitchen and make dinner for my husband every day. Like, no, sis, you are much more than that, right? And American culture is that. It's very that. We have been ingrained to think that. And we've been over these past few decades, we've been moving away from that because women are taking up these positions of power, of authority. And so us in this crew right here, right? All four of us, we all live at different intersectionalities. We come from very different backgrounds. Sure, we're all Asian. Sure, we're all trans women. Sure, we all have been in the military or serve in the military currently. But what does that mean for us? The unique thing about being us, or just being different from everyone else, is that just that, we're unique. And that's what makes it so beautiful, that the diversity, the rooted diversity in our own stories, is what makes us this big picture that is called the fucking world, right? So we have to really acknowledge and celebrate those differences, because everybody brings something different to the table, and they should be valued for that, right? But we talk about living at different intersectionalities, and it's important to understand where we come from, what we've been through, and how we are adapting and overcoming a lot of those obstacles to be where we're at today, because all we want to do is be seen as equal to everyone else. So.
Yes. Thank you, ladies. Those are great, great points and a really great perspective on each of you guys' lives. And I do want to caveat on Gigi's story about bleaching her skin. So I had a similar situation happened to me when I was a kid. So the Philippines doesn't really have racial problem. It's more of a colorism and social economic problem or biases. So growing up, I'm obviously half Black and Filipino. I'm darker than the majority of the kids. And in the Philippines, if you are lighter, you are seen as a person with money status. If you're darker, you work in the fields. And that's just kind of the mentality that a lot of my parents and that era and that generation came up with. And obviously it's been taught to younger generations, and that's where I grew up in. And I would always get bullied, teased, and there was a couple of times where I would actually buy bleaching products, or I wouldn't go out in the sun and play with the other kids. So it really took a couple of years to finally have this realization that I do have an identity problem between being Black and Filipino, and at the same time, figure out which race or how I can combine each race and everything that each race has taught me, and basically everything that has come down from my dad and my mom. And it's definitely a struggle to have at a young age to have identity problems, not just with yourself, not even your gender and your sexuality, and now your culture and even the way you look. And that's definitely something that I've learned, and I'll definitely carry with me for the rest of my life, and definitely teach my kids what it means to be mixed, what it means to be multiple of everything. And that's definitely something that definitely I will take to my grave. So Kylie, tell us about your experiences living, being raised from Burma, right?
Yeah, I totally identify with what Gigi went through. I came over to the United States when I was 18, and it was such a big adjustment, right? And you know, I've been discriminated based on the way I look, based on the fact that I'm trans, based on the fact that I'm Asian. I've been discriminated based on the food that I eat. So I really share, you know, the same story with the rest of with my sisters.
Thank you for sharing that, Kylie. And thank you, Layla. Thank you, Gigi. And you know what, this is definitely a bunch of perspectives and insight on how it is. And I know a lot of our viewers are going to relate to some of this, empathize in some of our situations, and bring it upon themselves to actually educate themselves and to be more cultured. And who doesn't want a fried pig? So why would you make fun of eating fried pig? I know you didn't say fried pig, but I do love me some fried pig.
That is great. You know, this conversation was really all-encompassing. We have a crew that really talks about living at intersectionalities, the four of us really do come from different backgrounds, and it's so amazing that we have so much insight on all of these topics, right? So thank you so much, Akira, for guiding us in today's conversation. Again, living at intersectionalities, all encompassing. Hey guys, if you guys are listening to us and you guys want us to talk about something specific, you guys can either reach us on email or Instagram. Our email is queenrebels4@gmail.com. That's queenrebels4@gmail. Or you can check us out on Instagram. Now, we just started Instagram. This is our first episode. We are doing the things. We're doing all the things. We're trying to be on all the things. And we're about to be on Twitter too. But if you guys want to check us out on Instagram and send us a DM asking us questions or giving us topics to talk about, it's at Queen Rebels. That's at QueenRebels. Okay. So each week we are going to end our episodes with a healthy relationship tip. So a lot of what we talked about today really is just how to take care of yourself. So it is no surprise that today's relationship tip is self-care. Does anybody think that self-care is selfish? Self-care isn't selfish, right? Think self-care. If you think self-care is selfish, think again. It could save your relationship, whether that's with yourself or with your family or your friends or your coworkers, right? Because first off, I just want to ask you guys, what do you feel when you hear that phrase, self-care? How does it make you feel? Does it make you feel incredibly selfish, guilty, self-indulgent? Does it make you feel like icky, cringy? Well, guess what? You are not alone. So many people feel the same way. But the simple fact is, self-care isn't selfish at all. Taking time for yourself to do something just for you is actually one of the best things you can do for your health and your relationships. Maybe belt out your favorite Adele song at the top of your lungs in your car or in your shower. Or go plant some flowers, if you can plant stuff, and feel the fresh dirt between your fingers, right? Or maybe take a couple of hours to play a round of golf with your friends, an activity you love so much, but haven't done since your life turned upside down, or whatever is going on in your life. The point is, guys, that anything that brings you joy, not only benefits you, but all of your relationships. So here's today's tip. Go nurture your damn self. Pick one activity today that you love and carve out time to do that, because bottom line is the best thing you can do for your relationships is take care of your damn self. So with that said, this was a great first session, guys. I thank you so much to the crew here, Gigi, Kylie, Akira. Thank you guys so much for being a part of Queen Rebels. Remember, listeners, your courage is your crown, so wear that shit. And with that said, please tune in next time, next week, to our next episode where we talk about transitioning with your partner. That is going to be a really deep conversation. I'm super excited to have this conversation with my sisters. And then we'll find out what is behind the name Queen Rebels. Why did we even come up with Queen Rebels? Okay, so tune in next time. I love each and every one of you. Take care of yourself. Your courage is your crown, so wear that shit. Bye.